Brewers fans, thank you for making the switch after the last pitch to this show. Welcome to the Bayview Shade and Blind Baseball Postgame Show, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey. Now, live from the Fan Postgame Studios, here's the franchise, Tim Allen, and Bill Baby Tausch Schmid.
Yes, indeed. It is a final from Arizona, and the results are indeed good. A Brewers 5-1 victory. Welcome, everybody. Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey. Tim and Tausch, late night takeover tonight as the Brewers, well worth staying up a little bit later. But honestly, this was a quicker game. If you look at this, some of the game times, not bad for an 8:40 start time, and here we are with a Brewers 5-1 victory, and this was a good game. Mm-hmm. And this was one of those games where you're like, one second it seems as if nothing's happening, and then the other second it's like, wait a second, no, this is actually a good, really good game. A pitcher's duel in the desert tonight, but the Brewers come up victorious. Well, they've won three in a row now. Is it official? There's a winning streak.
That's a winning streak.
Right as we speak, right now.
Yes, sir. That's exactly what it is. And you continually start climbing your way back to that 10-game over 500 mark of the high water mark of the season. Tim, for some reason, I thought it was higher. And the free fall that they've been on for the last month, the 9 out of 27 games that you win, almost feels bigger than it was. I mean, obviously, it's a 9-game difference. But you're still in a great position by the end of the month. You could be almost back to that if you get rolling here, as it seems like you're going to. And if you get pitching performances like you did from Davies, from the rest of your rotation, you're in a really good spot.
Just in the, I won't say nick of time, but just in time.
Because
Stearns, the GM, had made those comments just the other day saying, hey, man, the next 2 weeks is going to mean a lot, and it's going to provide some clarity, and we're going to find out what we are and where to proceed, and we would assume that we're going to add because we believe we're all of those things. And here we go, that they're just tearing the sheets off to 2 weeks. Now it's a 2-week window, almost like a playoff situation based on what he had said, and they got it done tonight, man. A huge win just when you had to have it. Guys, you had to have these wins. Right now, they're a good baseball team. We're all aware of that. Well, most of us are. I think there are some that debate whether or not this is a good team.
For sure there are, yep. There are plenty that Tim, also some of it, the hesitation is understandable because there's a freight train there in the Dodgers, and everybody still fears the Dodgers so much. But part of the realist of this year is the fact that it's an imperfect team in an imperfect league. All of these teams got holes, and even the Dodgers, for all as great as their year has been, they've had a lot of injuries, and at some point you'd imagine those start to catch up with you. As long as you keep yourself in the race, you give yourself a chance here, you start getting rolling a little bit and getting some good mojo back, it feels like they're right on the doorstep of being able to bust out.
Yeah, and in a game like this, you did have three different phases of the game going, man. You had the offense. It took a little time, took a little while in the 3-game winning streak here, 13 runs, 5 runs, and 5 runs. We'll take that. That's a little bit better. That's more like what we had anticipated coming into this season. So we'll take that. But you also had really good pitching tonight. Zach Davies, just outstanding. He came in with a 2.89 earned run average. What did he end up with after 7 full? That's 7 full. Craig Counsell didn't buckle there. I wanted him to let Zach Davies go, and he did. He finally did. He didn't go to the pen. He was tempted. You know he was tempted.
Oh, you know he was thinking about it, Tim.
On base in that seventh inning, I thought, you're not going to do it again, are you?
You better not. You better sit there and sit on your hands before you go out there and grab him.
And he let him go. He let him go to finish up the seventh. 99 pitches, 5 hits, and just the 1 run given up.
Yeah, a whole tenth. Now he's at 279 after the 99 pitches scoreless, or with 1 run through.
That's big time. He's on such a roll right now. And that's the conversation we've had, is that the starting pitching seems to – it doesn't seem to be troublesome to me at all. It really doesn't. They're competitive. They're hanging tough. And then you have the offense putting up the 5 spot, and you add some great defensive games tonight You just had a great defensive game all the way around. A couple of steals for the Diamondbacks tonight. But outside of that, the glove was working. Let's go back into the game recap here. In the first inning, both teams go 1-2-3. But it was Lorenzo Cain. It's been a while for this type of play, but not today to end the first.
They have dropped, and Escobar, first pitch, Hackett, lifts one deep into right center field. Cain going back at the wall. Oh, my goodness, he did it again. Lorenzo Cain with a not tonight already. All year long, Lorenzo Cain makes plays like that. Gold glove quality again.
I don't think there's any doubt he's getting the gold glove this year, right? I mean, I think the team has done enough lobbying. Craig Counsell has done enough lobbying. And we'll start pushing the envelope here a little bit as we wind things down.
That's a good point. I mean, this guy is going to have a campaign all over the place to make sure that he's getting his gold glove. Because they've taken it now like as a personal offense that he doesn't have one yet.
And that is really a little bit of a spark of the game here in this one, brought to you by Current Electric, your electrician superheroes at callcurrent.com. Spark of the game right there, taking a run off the board in that first inning. And the second inning, a leadoff triple by Mike Moustakas, and the Brewers take the lead off the bat. Well, I thought it was a good at-bat. Because he was going the other way, and Bronny normally goes the other way anyway these days, but you get a guy at third with nobody out, you better get him in, and he did.
2-2 pitch to Braun is lifted in the air to right field. Adam Jones toward the line. Moustakas with tag. And the first run of the night will belong to the Brew Crew as Moustakas beats the throw to the plate. 1-0 Milwaukee.
Yeah, we'll take that. One zip, they're on the board and need the shutdown inning. Didn't happen. Leadoff base hit, stolen base. And that stolen base loomed large because the Diamondbacks with the base hit tied up the ball game. Each team with a run in the second inning, and the Brewers go in order in the third. And it really stays that way through the middle portions of the game here. Brewers did have a leadoff base hit by Yelich in the fourth inning. But consecutive strikeouts, Grandal, Moustakas, and Braun all strike out to end started out to be a decent threat. However, in a pitcher's duel, in a team that has been known to struggle offensively this year, guys, I was a little – that was about the lowest in the frustration level in this game was that inning right there, was the fourth inning. Like, oh, man, don't do this offense. Come on, man. Zach Davies out there busting his tail. Start getting to it. And they don't, either team. It just didn't happen. Kelly and Davies goes scoreless through the middle portion, stays 1-1. Through seven innings full, 99 pitches, just the one run for Davies on five hits tonight as the Crew comes to bat in the eighth inning. Here's where the game turns, and who got lit up in this one? Yoan Lopez, who got lit up, brought to you by Heiser Automotive. It's your day at Heiser.com. As the Brewers put up a crooked number in that eighth inning, a leadoff double by Thames, followed up by a base hit by Keston Hira. You want to comment on that one, Billy?
Yeah, it was a really, really good decision. Let the kid swing away. He's on a roll. Let him barrel up a ball and try to just put the ball in play, make the defense make a play. And Yoan Lopez, your boy, was not able to make the play, and that's why it was a base hit.
No, and I'm thinking bunt all the way there. Yeah. Leadoff double.
Thank goodness they didn't listen to you.
High ball game in the eighth inning of all innings, and you want to move him over and get him home and take the lead. That's your main objective.
Yeah, you want to get a base hit and take the lead.
And Keston Hira did just that. He got a base hit and set the stage for Orlando Arcia.
1-2. Back up the middle, into center field, a base hit. Thames is in as Arcia delivers with an RBI single to give Milwaukee the lead.
Yeah, well, that's a nice piece of hitting by Orlando. Exactly what he needed to do on a breaking pitch.
2-1, and they weren't done yet as they all told put up three runs. They plate the third run this way.
Runners are going. Pitch is taken, and the throw
is airmailed down the left field line, and Hira is going to score, and the Brewers lead it 3-1. You get that running game going, put pressure on the defense, and Carson Kelly uncorked one down the line.
Attempted double steal there, and they get a gift run as they take a 3-1 lead, so runner at third base now. Hey, some fundamental ABC ball here as Jesus knocks in another run.
Ball two strikes to Aguilar. And that's in the air, right center field. Adam Jones races over to make the catch as Arcia will tag and score a productive out. Sacrifice fly from Aguilar. And it's a 3-run eighth inning now for the Brewers.
Yeah, and Lopez did get lit up right there as the Brewers put up those three runs in the eighth inning. Jeremy Jeffress into some trouble in the bottom of the seventh inning, but his defense bails him out again. I shouldn't say bails him out, but he was in trouble. A couple of runners aboard with one out.
Backs in business. And there's the ground ball. Arcia, Hira for one. And the turn. There's your double play.
Good time.
6-4-3 as Jeremy Jeffress serves one up.
Second double play of the game for the Brewers defense. And they get to the ninth inning and needed a little tack on run. A little statistic in the home run column for Ryan Braun.
And Braun with a fly ball hit back into right center field. And that is gone. A home run for Ryan Braun. Number 14 on the year. And it's 5-1 Brew Crew.
Matt Albers comes on to pitch a scoreless ninth inning. There's your final 5-1. Let's rewind back to the seventh inning. We heard Lorenzo Cain in the first inning make an amazing catch again. But it was the seventh inning. I think this really helped Zach Davies, and it helped out Craig Counsell's decision to keep him in there. But, man, Lorenzo Cain flashing some leather tonight.
Zach Ritty with the 2-2. Hit in the air to center field. Lorenzo Cain going back at the track, and he makes the catch again. Wow.
He's something else. Boy. Well, you keep it in the ballpark. Pretty good chance he's going to be able to make the catch. Just incredible the way he goes back. Knows exactly where he is on that field. And about midway on the warning track, able to grab it.
And there it is. All the highlights on Fox Sports Wisconsin. A Brewers 5-1 victory. They go to 51 and 48 with the victory, 47, sorry, four games over 500 as they won their third consecutive game. I know that. And they're all important now. They actually pick up a half game in this victory to the idle Cubs. So the Brewers sit just two games back in the National League Central. Brewers trying to defend their National League Central championship crown. 414-799-1250. So the Brewers' offense, 13 on Saturday, 5 yesterday, 5 today. I'm pretty convinced that the pitching is going to get taken care of with some moves. At least internally, but I'm pretty certain that David Stearns is going to acquire an arm.
Especially in the relief corps. I don't know exactly on the starting pitching side. I think that price is going to be really, really high. And I think teams, Tim, are going to ask too much, to be completely honest with you, and kind of price out some of the competition that you expect to have. I was reading a story today. Wasn't Rosenthal. It was another on The Athletic, I believe. And the idea, the premise of the article was writing about how these teams that have elite starting pitching, if you're talking about the San Francisco Giants, they also have a reliever, a closer that they could couple with and really try to maximize the profit on return of those relievers and the starting pitchers. You're not going to be able to compete if you're going with Will Smith and Madison Bumgarner in a deal, or if it's Stroman and Ken Giles. I mean, those are going to be huge prices you're going to have to pay. Or with Matthew Boyd, the controllable guy up in Detroit, and their all-star closer, Shane Green.
You're right, and that would be a massive deal. So you could take a piece here and a piece there, but I'm pretty convinced that the Brewers will acquire a bullpen arm.
I got my guy. It's going to be Kirby Yates out in San Diego.
San Diego, yeah.
My but boy San Kirby.
Diego, San Diego is right in the thick of this thing too, pretty much.
They're one of those teams that's going to be interesting to see because – obviously, they spend all the money on Machado earlier this year and Hosmer last year to an extent as well. But with four games under, they're still within striking distance of that wild card at four games. It's interesting to see on some of these teams, Tim, and some of these organizations that haven't had the playoff success or haven't gotten the taste of that, if they go all in just to try to make sure that they can get to the playoffs and sell that every once in a while.
So it comes down to this for the crew then in my book that are you good with the – how confident are you with the offense? Are you good with the offense? Because you're stuck with this offense. I'm just about a guarantee on that one. I don't see where you would make the moves outside of internal moves, and that is bringing a Travis Shaw up, bringing a Mauricio Dubon up. I mean, I don't see any other moves outside the organization. Where would you put them? You have this offense that you've got right now, and that's that. How confident are you that these guys, number one, are going to get consistent? Not just consistent, but getting hot. They're going to have to carry their load here, for sure. Let me squeeze in Roger here before the break. Roger, you're on the Fan. What's happening?
Hey, guys. A couple of things I really like. First of all, that they throttled back, given the recent offensive outburst by Arizona, to go in there and just squash them guys in that matter. The other thing, perfectly fine, good pitching beats good hitting. When they get that starter out there, they didn't win 2-1. I mean, they added 5 runs. I thought it was a big deal, Braun's last home run. I just thought it was, I hate to say it, it was more like last year's club, Timmy. I know we're not supposed to reference, but pleasantly surprised. This was the way it had to be won.
Yeah, it's almost like, Roger, thanks for the call. This game, no, he's right in that regard, but this game is a 5-1 winner. Yeah, good ball game, good baseball game. You like a good baseball game, you got a good baseball game here. But it was almost like, okay, another 5-1 win. All right, let's move on. That is true. That's kind of what it was last year at times.
Yeah, they stacked up. They got into a point where you, every single night, and it was definitely closer, Tim. I will say this. It was closer to the end of September where it was every single day you woke up, looked at the game, looked at the pitching matchup, and you said, all right, cool. I'm going to win. Probably should win tonight's game. And right. there was a time there for a good month and a half that you expected them to win every single game. And I think a lot of fans did the same thing coming into this year.
And now it's, oh boy, what's going to happen tonight? what kind of storyline are we going to have tonight?
Yeah, that's the correction of the game with Milwaukee County House of Correction. I mean, you kidding me? The feeling of every single night you wake up, or every single time you start the game, believing that you're going to win, and now it's every single time saying, can we just score 3 runs?
Yeah. It's just almost a little sense of normalcy tonight. Mm-hmm. In a Brewers 5-1 win. That's the way it feels here. Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey, a 5-1 winner. We'll check out the numbers. I get a little taster from Craig Council coming up. And if you want to join the conversation, we're stuck with this offense. I mean, that's just basically what it comes down to. Would you agree with that, first of all, Billy, real quick? Are we stuck with this offense the way it sits?
Yeah, you're not. You said it on the On Deck show today. You're not adding to this offense, really. That's just not going to be plausible to happen. So what you got is what you got. And if you're going to be able to have big-time improvement, it is going to be from within.
Has to be. It has to. And how confident are you in that? 799-1250. 5-1. Brewers get the win. Tim and Tausch, late-night Brewers conversation here on The Fan.
Was it a moonshot or a big line drive? Let's get today's Wrench and Go drive of the game. Need auto parts? Wrench and Go is a self-service yard. Bring your own tools and access the lowest priced auto parts around. This is the Bayview Shade and Blind Baseball Postgame Show, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Another big-time victory for the crew today. 5-1 the final. They get pitching, they get hitting, and they get defense. And you put all three of those things together, Feels a lot like Christmas, actually. Three in a row as they go back to four games over 500, two games back. And wrench and go drive of the game. Now, we have some choices here. I think legitimately the biggest hit of the game was the base hit by Arcia in the eighth inning to give him the lead. All right, that's one.
Okay.
You do have a drive, like a big-time drive, that went out of the yard, and that was Ryan Braun.
Mm-hmm.
A solo shot in the ninth. But you really did have a big-time, it wasn't even a base hit. Well, I'm sorry, it wasn't even an RBI, it was a base hit. From Keston Hira, in a situation that a lot of managers would have bunted right there. And that's a runner at second base. It was a leadoff double by Eric Thames in the eighth inning. Tie ball game on the road. You want to get the lead. And I would have bunted there. Wrench and go drive of the game. I'm going to give it to Keston Hira.
That's
swinging
the drive of the game?
That is the drive of the game. Put it this way. I think there's a lot of baseball fans within the sound of our voices that if the Brewers don't score in that inning, they're thinking that way.
And their name is Tim Allen.
Well, one's name is Tim, yes. But I would have bunted over and got the run in, but you let him swing away. He ended up with a base hit. He set the stage. It really did set the stage for three-run innings, so a crooked number there. I'm calling that... one of the three wrench and go drives of the game. How about that?
Yeah, I guess I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you. Just meet me in the middle, Timmy.
799-1250. Justin, you're on the fan. What's going on, Justin?
Good evening, gentlemen. As always, great show. A couple of things. That cane catch really was amazing, again. And the defense has been outstanding. It makes a difference. But at the same time, now they've got to make moves. Is Travis Shaw on the table, do you think?
You know, I don't know. Yeah, I would think. Yeah. That's the thing, though, Justin. It would seem weird and out of sorts if they did move a couple of pieces, but I won't rule it out. And it's not waving a white flag on the season if you move certain pieces. Trust me, it wouldn't be. Now, if you move Grandal and Moustakas, there's your white flag.
That's your white flag. So what would it take? I think Will Smith is the key. And don't you think?
What you're getting at is Travis Shaw for Will Smith?
That's I think, plausible.
Hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I'm... San Francisco, I'm really not even answering the phone. That's a 30-year-old player that's already clicking on arbitration for a guy that I'm going to be able to get somebody for 5-6 years. Who's probably AA, AAA, at best, probably top five prospect in somebody's system.
So lastly, they don't regret giving up Will Smith, but Will Smith is key.
Well, a pitcher like Will Smith is a key for the Brewers.
Yeah,
this
no
year,
doubt.
For sure.
No doubt. Absolutely.
Yeah. Gentlemen. Yeah. Thank you, Justin. Geez. Oh, without question, man. Bullpen arm is needed. Jeremy Jeffress was walking the tightrope today.
There are a few different names, Tim, that I really like on the market for the trade deadline season, but it's still coming into play of who is going to be selling. I'm just not sold on some of these teams that are still in relative rebuild mode. Like the Chicago White Sox would be one. You see Alex Colome, really, really strong reliever, closer, but he's still got a couple of years of control. You're the White Sox. Yeah, you could probably maximize your return on him now. But if you think that you're closer to being able to compete next year instead of 2 to 3 years from now, like the Brewers were able to do a lot quicker than some teams like the Chicago Cubs, where it took 5-6 years for you to build up all the talent that you brought in homegrown and now they got up here to the big leagues. And yeah, that process is really fun. A lot of teams want to compete now, and they're not trying to wait like that. And sometimes the teams that would be selling off some of that relief pitching, the Pittsburgh Pirates, Felipe Vasquez, don't necessarily know if that dude's going to be on the market just because they could be competing, if not late this year, definitely next season.
For sure. They're an up-and-coming team, and I'm not sure that they want to part ways with Vasquez, but Ken Giles may be a guy. Suffered a few injuries, but didn't he have a little bit of an attitude? Wasn't there some sort of...
He's the one that cussed out the coach when he came out and got him in the playoffs. But he also sucked in the playoffs. Like, there was no reason why that Hinch wouldn't have come and take him out. He was pitching for the Astros, and he was closing games for the Astros when they ended up winning the World Series. And I believe it was in the CS, Boston or New York, whoever they were playing, and he got pretty chippy with Hinch when he came out and got him. He's like, dude, you walked two guys. It's the ninth inning.
Yeah. Yeah, and that wasn't the only outing or performance that Hinch and him
was dicey.
Yeah, they were going at it a couple of times. So I don't know if he's the guy. Yates has been mentioned quite a few times. We just did a check in on a Joaquin Soria. And I don't know if Oakland's ready to part ways with a guy like that. But Oakland's, you never know with those guys. Billy Bean to do whatever, but. A 4.6 ERA?
4.6 from Soria, yep.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to work out too well. But you're going to have to pay to get. And I just think we'll see what happens here. And you're probably at this point with this many teams involved and a one-day deadline, I think you're going to have to overpay this year for what you get.
No doubt.
And why didn't you, I don't know. I mean, I detected it 5 weeks ago. But who am I? I mean, but 5 weeks ago, my comment was, hey, Stearns, you know what you need, man. You know what you need. I know what you need. You know, I probably know what you need. You need a bullpen arm. This was 5 weeks ago. Get ahead of the curve before the value of these guys just skyrockets. And that's where it's at now. You're going to pay heavy to get a reliever right now. A good one. 799-1250, but on the offensive side, it comes down to, are you willing to just roll the dice on these guys? And you're going to have to trust these guys are going to get it going. Let's go to Mike. Mike, you're next on the Fan.
Hey, guys. How great is this weather, first of all?
I love it.
I'm sitting outside drinking a cocktail after a big Brewers win. Does it get any better than that?
How are the mosquitoes, man? They're starting to come out down in Kenosha.
Yeah, they're pretty rough, but I got some heavy-duty bug spraying. You know, it's just
some of that natural repellent.
When the blizzard's coming down in January and you're freezing your butt off, you miss nights like that.
No doubt. Or the worst one, Mike, and I can deal with the snow. I mean, yeah, I'll go out there and shovel, and I might go pawn a couple of dollars off the old lady down the street. Sure. But the one that I can't stand is when it's 14 below zero, and I can't even touch my steering wheel. So that's the days that I'll sweat out here.
When it's 31 and raining, you just can't wait for the weather to get better.
Right.
Dang right, Mike.
But anyway, you know, I used to call in after losses to them, but, you know, I got to – this is a really nice win tonight all around. Just everything, starting pitching, clutch hitting. Jeffress, again, walking the tightrope, but he got the double play. You know, maybe I feel like this team's turning a bit. I usually am not inclined to positive thoughts, which is something you can talk to a therapist about that, I suppose. But you know, it just feels like these last couple days have been better. And, you know, how good – I enjoy the NL Central this year. In a league where teams are 35 games out of first place and have given up before the start of the season, I'm sitting right there in the mix. You could say it's a bad division or a mediocre division. I don't agree. I think it's a competitive division. There's nobody that can beat up on anybody else.
Yep. No, Mike, you're right. But that's unlike a lot of Brewers fans. Hey, Mike, thanks for the call. Enjoy that cocktail, man. If I didn't have to work tonight, I'd be doing the same thing.
I'll be outside for about an hour. Yep.
All right. Take it easy.
Good man, Mike.
Yeah,
thanks.
No doubt. He, you know, he brings up the Central, and I think that's not the norm, though. The norm right now is that the Brewers' sentiment and perception, it is perception, that they're having this god-awful year. It is.
Oh, man, they're just brutal. Yeah, no doubt.
We're in touch with a lot of Brewers fans, as you could imagine. It's almost like if you don't run away with it and you're not 20 games or 22 games over 500 right now, your season's horrible. It's just not the case. I'm with Mike, and I've told you that, and I know I get a lot of flack for it at times, but it is the fun part of a baseball season when it is a pennant race. Man, I enjoy it. Used to be relevant baseball. It used to, that's what it used to be, relevant baseball. That was the goal. Play relevant baseball in September. Then we're happy. Make sure that, wow, if you get hot and win 7 of 8, you could be within 2 games, and you got that series against the first-place team coming up in 2 weeks. And no, it's not like that anymore. We're here in July. It's a pennant race. There's really no reason why you shouldn't expect this to continue this year. There's really no reason. Have they been playing great baseball? No, not great baseball. At times, have they been playing good baseball? Yes, good baseball. Have they been underachieving at times? For sure. But sometimes that scale balances out. And I think you're in for this type of year all year long. It's almost like ringing the bell for Pavlov's dog. You know what I mean? It's like you ring the bell and you keep going back to the same thing. We expected going back and forth all this year. From day one, we expected it to be a dogfight, and it's exactly what it is.
Yeah, and all the teams are competitive, and every single team on any given night has either a lineup that is potent in the Cincinnati Reds, or, Tim, they're just a team that battles you like the Pittsburgh Pirates, and there's no easy outs, there's no easy wins. St. Louis Cardinals are the St. Louis Cardinals. You know those are never going to be easy games. And the Cubs are a freight train, and they still haven't played up to expectations. It's a fun bunch of teams, but also keep this in mind. The Brewers have at least a .500 record against all the teams in the division. They're 4 games over .500, but far more over .500 in the division. I think that's a really, really good sign. 24-18, by far the best record against the division in the division.
Yeah, and they've scuffled outside, but inside the division, man, they keep beating on these guys, and hopefully that continues. Let's hear from Craig Counsell, as he's got to be pretty pleased with all three facets of the game. Pitching, offense, and certainly the leather was flashed tonight as well. Scoop from the Skipper tonight is brought to you by Bryant and Stratton College Athletics, offering athletic scholarships in 15 junior college sports. Learn more at bscbobcats.com. Here's Counts.
Yeah, I mean, both starters were really good. We didn't take many good swings off Kelly at all. You know, most in the first inning, really, or second inning, and that's it. And then, I thought Zach was a little off the first couple innings with his command. You know, he was, you know, balls and strikes were even, and but he got sharper as the game went, started making pitches, and we played brilliant defense behind him. We really did. I mean, Lorenzo had a fabulous night on defense, 3 balls, you know, over his head, tremendous plays. So good pitching and really good defense, really good defense. And RC had made some plays too tonight. So both our, you know, our middle of the field defenders, you know, Orlando and Lorenzo had big nights.
When Lorenzo makes that play, I mean, right away in the first inning,
yeah, I always think that, look, the robbing the home run play and then the you know, the out at the plate from an outfielder or a relay thrower, just such game changers. It just changes the momentum of games so much. And so, you know, from being down in a game and a home run and until, you know, it's just a big play. It changes your dugout. It changes everything. So, they're huge plays in games, and the, you know, I think you look at plays like that and they change outcomes in the end.
Tom and I were just talking that their starter didn't have a walk and Zach didn't have a strikeout.
Yeah.
Just like the ultimate.
Yeah. I mean, it was their starter was good. I mean, he was really good. He just, I thought he, you know, like him and the catcher did a really nice job just keeping us off balance. We're looking fastball, he's throwing breaking ball, and vice versa. It was, we never felt like we were never on anything, and he was in good counts a whole bunch too. And then for Zach, you know, he hasn't been striking guys out. You know, that's, you know, but zero's a little different than, you know, 3 or 4 that he's been getting. So it was a good night, but he still threw the ball well. I mean, the plays by Kane obviously were huge, but I didn't feel like there was a ton of hard contact other than that. It was, you know, he stayed off the barrel, which he's good at doing.
He seems to have a flair for it, Lorenzo. Is when you see the ball going out there like that, even on the other end, the other catches he made, is that one of those where you're like, if anyone's going to get it, it's him, because it's just what he's done.
Yeah, I mean, you do think he's going to catch it because that's what he does if you watch him play a lot. I didn't think he was going to catch the first ball. I thought he had a good shot at the other two. Just, the way he runs after a ball, you know if he's going to catch it. So that doesn't – they're still great plays. Yeah, he knows what he's doing, man. He's got that radar that just sends him to the right spot, and he can run at full speed while running to that spot.
That was a pretty nice at bat that Orlando had in the eighth. I think that guy had a 0-2 right out of the
shot. Yeah, well, I think Orlando and I'd say Aggie had a big at bat with a sac fly too. So, we got rewarded tonight. We've struggled with contact and just the right contact in those situations. The last couple, Bronny did it in the first and the second. Orlando, then Aggie, 3-for-3. And we were pretty good yesterday, too. So we're hopefully turning that around a little bit.
You forced the issue of that double steal, too. Made him make an error.
Yeah, it was, you know, it's you get the lead and, you know, you can start to be a little bit more aggressive.
Just when they bring in somebody else there, just to see somebody different.
What's
when
that?
When the bats really aren't swinging early in the game, they bring in somebody else.
Can I help? Lopez has been pretty good. I wasn't excited to see him. He's been doing pretty good. So
Eric sort of set the time there.
Yeah. You get the leadoff hitter on. I think when you get the leadoff hitter on and a double and in that inning, it changes. But that guy's throwing the ball pretty darn good this year.
Where did things go right? Or, not so much. Where did this game turn? Time for today's Turning Point of the Game. Sponsored by Great Lakes Dragaway. Check out all the events and track rental info at greatlakesdragaway.com. This is the Bayview Shade and Blind Baseball Postgame Show, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
You know, you just kind of wonder at times if you'd have said in the eighth inning, you were mentioning, Craig, that leadoff double by Eric Thames. Did you consider bunting with Keston Hira?
No.
And that would have been it? I think it would have been no. Yes, I agree with that.
You don't think you would have went all Hal McCray? Get out of here with these dumbass questions!
He would have
thrown typewriters around.
No, I don't think
tossing recorders at Tom Hardicourt.
He would not have gone Hal McCray on me. But
Rosie,
been...
get out of here with these dumb questions,
stupid ass questions.
Adam, you two get out of here with these dumb ass questions.
Oh, every night you guys asking these stupid ass questions. So our turning point in this one, you heard Craig Counsell talk about momentum inside the games changing. It changes the energy, changes the dugout. Yeah, turning point in this one is the not today catch from Lorenzo Cain that was in the first inning. So there it is, your turning point with Great Lakes Dragaway. And the Brewers get the victory, and still the days go by here. As we're just talking about it, we're talking about the needs and the bullpen pitchers and the buyers of the sellers. I can tell you this. It does not appear that this team in any way is near being a seller.
No.
Can we all agree on that?
Yeah, no, that's not happening, Tim. And despite what you think about, well, you could get a lot for Mike Moustakas. He's a power-hitting second baseman. Infield help just doesn't net you that much. Like, my dad one time, he lost a finger, right? So when you lose a digit, every digit has its own value that the insurance company will give you. There are certain digits that are very expensive. Your index finger is actually the second most expensive, your thumb will be number one. So if the thumb is starting pitching, it goes the thumb for starting pitching, probably reliever would be the index finger, because that'll be the second most expensive. The third most expensive is actually the pinky, because it then balances out the rest of the hand. So then that would probably be like good outfield help, right? A good power bat right off the bench that you know
like
can...
Like a Jay Bruce.
Like a Jay Bruce, absolutely. the middle finger, the ring finger, it's kind of a Brian Dozier, maybe a Neil Walker. I know Mike Moustakas was an all-star this year, but he's not netting you all that much. He's not netting
Curtis
you what?
Granderson.
Yeah, closer to that or a Gerardo Parra deal like you pulled off a few years ago. It's nothing major. No big return. You're not reshaping your farm system because you traded 2 months of Mike Moustakas.
That analogy came in pretty handy tonight. That was pretty good.
That's well done, kid. Mm-hmm. That's the are you kidding me moment of the game.
With
Gene Wagner would not like you saying that.
A company you can trust, GeneWagnerPlumbing.com. No, the are you kidding me moment. I really think if you're going to say are you kidding me, it was the all three phases finally. Are you kidding me? We've been waiting for this. I think that's a good thing. It was a good are you kidding me moment tonight. Moments, if you will. Good starting pitching, good relief core tonight. And good hitting. Good timely, good bat on ball hitting. This hour on The Fan is brought to you by Bayview Shade and Blind, providing the highest quality window fashions since 1926. Find out more at BayviewShade.com. And a big win, 4 games over .500, 2 games out. We can all just rest well a little bit. They've rattled off 3 in a row. We can work on focusing on playing better baseball, playing consistent baseball. We'll take a break here and come back. A couple of minutes left if you want to join the conversation. 414-799-1250. Nice win tonight. Brewers get it. 5-1.
Which player is ready for the bigs? What will the next series bring for the crew? Time for some forward thinking. Sponsored by Forward Financial Partners. Moving forward together. Find your way forward at ffpwi.com.
5-1 final. Brewers take game one of this 4-game set out in the desert against the Diamondbacks. And there is a nice little run going on right here. A little short sample size.
A little
size,
taster of one.
You got to start with the early parts of a run to get to the middle and late parts of a run. So we're in the early stages of this little run. Sets up a big game tomorrow. Forward thinking with Forward Financial Partners at ffpwi.com, and it's game two, one at a time is really what it comes down to. Late night tomorrow night, we'll talk more about this pitching matchup in just a second. But let's get Bruce on. Bruce, you're on The Fan.
Hey, hi, Tim. Let me just say something. Matt LaPay and Bill Schroeder mentioned tonight that while David Stearns was on the plane, he was talking to general managers for at least 2 hours. And then after he got off the plane, he talked for another 2 hours. So obviously they're in on, so I don't know what they're going to deal, but what they're going to make a deal for, but I'll just wait and see. By the way, Tim, you keep talking about Bunny. Last year, and I don't mean to say, I'm not going back to this thing, but last year, Pena was up at the plate, and he hit into a double play. And then afterwards, Council was asked about, why didn't you let him bunt? He said, that's not the statistics in the what they go by and stuff like that. So he said, I did not want him to bunt because that's not the statistics we go by.
He actually alluded to that play earlier this year, or maybe at spring training, he alluded to that play. Now he has... Bruce, thanks for the call. He has since then, and I don't have time to dig out the quote, but I have it saved here from Craig Counsell that they did reanalyze their bunt situation. They did that. They've talked about it. So at least there's some scratching of the surface. Yeah. I don't know if that's going to change.
Didn't.
We haven't seen a change at all.
I hope we don't. Just let the dude swing away. You guys got good hitters, really good hitters. Just let them swing away.
Well, you saw it. You saw it tonight. Brewers go at it. Game two.
Drill one off
the
pitcher's glove. Yeah, no chance at that thing, Timmy.
Well, he got the runner over, and that was the main thing.
There you go.
Got him.
You
would
have been hot as a tea kettle if they wouldn't have got that run.
Losing my mind. If this thing, you know what? If they don't. If they don't score in that eighth inning, who knows if Ryan Braun hits the ninth inning home run?
Sure.
Who knows if we're not still playing baseball right now with an extended game?
Oh, geez.
That would not be the last thing.
That would not be good for you because you're on the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Oh, sorry, the Radio Joe Sports Talk Network.
That's right. Plenty of Brewers conversation tomorrow. Chuck and Winkler, you and I are going to make an appearance on a Tim and Tosh takeover of Chuck and Winkler tomorrow morning.
Tim, I would like you to ask Gavin Lux a question for me. Would you ask him what it feels like to hit a home run in your first AAA game?
Wow. Yeah. You'd be amazed, folks, what goes on behind the scenes, man. You'd be amazed. Yeah, I'll fill in for Bill tomorrow. Gavin Lux is going to be on the show as well. And Buster Olney will join
us.
Yeah, and we'll talk baseball trading and see where the national perspective is on the Brewers. And then the Wendy's Big Show,
mm-hmm.
Billy and Gary. And is Gary in?
No, it'll be Stevie and I, as it's also Leap 36's birthday.
Ah, okay. Well, Gary just had a birthday too, right?
Gary's birthday was yesterday, his 35th anniversary of his 21st birthday.
There you go. And after the last pitch tomorrow after game two, you make the switch. Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MillHockey. Fellow Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on deck show gets you ready. Thanks to Sam Schmitz, Derek for helping out tonight as well. For Baby Tosh, Bill Schmid, my name is Tim Allen. Enjoy the victory, everybody. Got a little run going right now. You guys have a great night and smile, Milwaukee. The world will smile back. Smile.